10 o'clock. Time for Sears Mid-Morning Matinee, a program of music and entertainment brought to you each weekday, Monday through Saturday at this time, by the Los Angeles County retail stores of Sears, Roebuck & Company. And here is our host, Hal Hart.
Thank you, Lowell Cartwright, and good morning, friends. Well, here we are presenting another departure from our regular musical review. In just a few minutes, we're going to have five of our guests step up here to the microphone and answer questions on consumer buying. Yes, it's to be a quiz program, and we hope that you'll enjoy it and perhaps get an idea or two which will prove valuable. In any event, we would like to get your reaction to the program. We'd like to know if you think such a program would be popular if it were broadcast once or twice a week during the summer and fall. Whether you do or do not like the show, please write to us so that we may know what you like have coming into your home by way of the ether waves. So do write us, won't you? The questions today will be divided into four groups. One on food, one clothing, one furniture, and the fourth on household appliances. And while our contestants are mentally assembling their consumer information, the Singing Strings play our opening number, Chestnut Tree. Thank you very much, girls, and it makes a fine start for our program on the mid-morning matinee. I was over at Sears Hollywood store last Saturday morning in one of the busiest places with the outdoor furniture department. Families by the dozens are planning to fix up their patios and gardens and verandas for the outdoor living this summer. I don't believe there's a finer or more complete display of patio and garden furniture anywhere than Sears is showing right now. And you'll find that prices average at least 20% less for the same merchandise. Now, that's not just sales talk. It really is a fact that you can find out for yourself if you just take the trouble to compare. A 20% saving means that you can buy more pieces, an extra chair, a cute steel tea wagon, a gay umbrella, or you can put that money aside and save it for other needed items later on. In any case, it will pay you to patronize your neighborhood Sears store for all outdoor furniture requirements, and as a radio customer, it is especially to your advantage this week. Sears has put a special price on two items that represent peak values. First, a modern steel chair with one-piece frame of steel tubing, attractive shell back and a deep seat. This chair sells in most places for $3 and up. But this week, you can buy it at Sears for only $2.19. You have your choice of several attractive colors at this price, too. Drop in and see them. But be sure and identify yourself as a listener to this radio program. And I'll tell you about that second radio special, Outdoor Furniture, in just a few minutes, but now we'd better get on with our consumer quiz. Thank you, Bob. Now, if our contestants will get ready to step up here, there are five of them, and we have four groups of questions with five in each group, so each contestant will have one question on each subject. Now, just to make it a little more fun, each contestant is credited with $5 in trade at Sears, Roebuck & Company to start with. If she answers all the questions correctly, she keeps all the $5 credit. But for each incorrect answer, she loses a dollar. Now, Jefferson Coldwater...
All the present unaccounted for except our opportunity
Good.
Man.
Good, and opportunity man? Well, he'd be along here in just a minute.
Right through the door now. Good morning, Mr. Opportunity Man.
How'd you do?
Well, there he is, trying to steal the show again by gumming up the works right off the bat.
Quiet, Mr. Coldwater.
Now, don't fight, boys. Jeff, you and Oppie will be the scorekeeper today.
Oh, swell, that's fine. Swell. Oh, and by the way... do we get credit for all the dollars the contestants lose by giving the wrong answers?
Get out of here. Certainly not. Now, if you're all ready, we'll start in. Contestant number one, will you step up here? And what is your name, please?
Mrs. Alexander Stoffel.
Mrs. Alexander Stoffel. And what is your profession or occupation?
I'm a homemaker.
You're a homemaker. Fine. Then you'll probably be able to answer a lot of these questions on consumer buying.
Don't be too sure.
But here's the first one anyway. What is meant by sweet butter?
Sweet butter is unsalted butter, I'd say.
That's right. Absolutely right. What about butter that's made from sweet cream?
Well, that would be sweet butter.
Would it necessarily?
No, I imagine that would be sweet... I give up.
Half on that
Let's
one.
Give her a half on that one. That's all right. Butter made from sweet cream is there's practically no difference between it and butter made from sour cream. Most of the butter that we buy nowadays is made from sour cream, however, because you don't have the trouble of it spoiling in the meantime. Sweet cream butter, if it is handled properly, it will keep just as long as the other butter. It usually comes a little higher price because they have to handle it much more quickly. Now, let's see. Our next contestant, step right up here, will you please? And what is your name?
Melba Hunt.
Melba Hunt. And what is your profession, occupation?
Musician by profession, homemaker by necessity.
Now, here's your question. If a number two can of sliced peaches, as an example, holds 2 1/2 cups, how much does a number 2 1/2 can hold?
I should think about 3 cups. I don't know.
Well, now, that's very nearly correct. I think we'd better score on that. It's 3 1/2 cups. That's very, very good. Now, the next contestant, will you step up, please? What is your name, please?
My name is Agnes Reel.
Agnes Reel, and what is your profession?
I'm a businesswoman.
Now, I know better. Agnes Reel is a traveler and a lecturer, but she's up here this morning going to show us her stuff on this consumer buying. Is it necessary to remove the contents of a tin can immediately on opening that can?
I don't believe it is anymore. I think it used to be, but now no longer.
Absolutely correct. Once upon a time, they did not coat the interior of the cans, and therefore the acids and the alkalis in the fruit sometimes did cause discoloration, if not poisoning. But nowadays, all cans are coated on the inside with several different materials, and as long as that coating remains intact, you do not have to remove the food. Absolutely correct for her. Now, our next contestant, what is your name?
Miss Lyons.
Miss,
Florence Lyons.
Miss Florence Lyons. And what is your occupation?
A writer.
You're a writer. Do you write anything for motion pictures or what?
Oh, yes, motion pictures and radio.
And radio. Oh, well, now, and your first question is, what are the commercial grades of fresh fruit?
I should say they'd be a first grade, a second grade, a scarred grade, and perhaps a Kohl's.
Well, now, that is a very good guess, but I'm afraid it misses it just a little bit. The commercial grades are fancy, choice, and standard in that order.
I see.
Now, next contestant, will you step right up here, please? If the contestants will be ready, then... Now, what is your name?
Mrs. Irene Collier.
Will you speak right up? That's right. Mrs. Irene Collier. And what is your profession?
My profession is a homemaker.
You're a homemaker. Fine. Now, can you tell me... The three common grades of fresh eggs, you know, there are certain standards specified by the United States government. Do you happen to know what those standards are?
Why, there's first and second grade.
Well, that's...
And the select grade.
That's not exactly right. There are three generally accepted standards, U.S. specials, U.S. extras, and U.S. standards in that order. And those specifications are according to the freshness of the egg... And the condition of the shell and so on. Thank you very much, Mrs. Carter. We'll have another question for you in just a minute. Now, Mrs. Stoppel, are you ready for your second question?
Oh, yes.
Can you name four natural... This is questions on clothing and clothing materials. Can you name four natural fibers used in making cloth?
Flax. And silk thread.
Flax and silk, not the thread. The natural fibers.
Silk fiber. And cotton fiber.
Cotton.
And wool.
And wool, absolutely correct. Can you name them in the order of the length of the fibers? The shortest one first.
The shortest one, I should say, would be flax. Now, don't laugh.
Take your time. There's lots of time.
Cotton. Wool. No, I think wool is the longest.
No, silk is the longest.
Silk is long.
You see, you can get silk up to almost 300 yards.
Which is the shortest, then?
Cotton is really the shortest.
Cotton is the shortest.
Let's credit about 75% on that, will you, Mr. Opportunity Man and Jefferson? Now, our next contestant, will you, Mrs. Hunt? Here's for your second question now. Can you name five dress materials made from cotton?
Cretonne.
Cretonne.
Chintz.
Chintz.
Organdy.
Organdy.
I don't know, organza would be... It's really a form of organdy, only lighter. Rayon. Uh-oh, wait a minute.
Somebody gave away that time. Well, you named four there anyway. That's all right. That's very good.
Well, I'm sure I could think of another one.
Now, can you tell me, is cotton grown in California?
Oh, yes.
Where?
Around Imperial Valley, up around the Sacramento Valley.
Very excellent, 100%. Now, Miss Real, are you ready for your second question? What is the difference between all wool and all wool worsted material? You see those names mentioned very often in buying clothing.
I would make a guess that all wool is all wool and the other is some cotton in it.
No, that's not right. Worsted means that the yarn has been given an extra fine twist. And it actually wears longer. There's less of the rough edges to get out and catch on things. And you'll find that worsted cloth is usually a little heavier. What is meant by virgin wool? We'll give you another chance here.
Well, virgin wool is from the lamb or sheep. Right from the animal, I should think. Taken off the animal.
That's right. Taken directly from the animal. That is, it has never been woven into cloth before. It's not reclaimed yarn. Let's give her about 50% of that, will we? Now, Miss Lyons... what is meant by full-fashioned hosiery?
Oh, heavens.
Can't be censored these side remarks. Get up closer to the microphone, would you, please?
There's silk all the way up, I know.
Yes?
And, I don't know. That's all.
Well, you can make hosiery by knitting it in a perfect circle, round, 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 or you can make hosiery out flat and sew it together. Full-fashioned hosiery is made flat so that they drop stitches at the edges and it actually forms itself to the shape of the leg. I guess you have to miss on that one, Mr. Opportunity Man.
Albert.
Now, Mrs. Collier, can you tell me what rayon is?
Why, it's materials made from corn, is it not?
Some of it is made from corn, yes. Would you call it a natural fiber?
Well, it is a natural fiber treated.
Treated. Well, I think we'd better consider her about half right on that one. Rayon can be made from cotton. It's made from corn. It's made from a wood pulp. It's chemically prepared and spun, and the length of that fiber is unlimited. It's made chemically and squirt out of a little hole. And... do you happen to know one quality of rayon that's lacking, which would make it ideal for manufacture of stockings? You know, it has strength and it has sheen and everything, but there's one quality which is lacking.
One quality that is lacking for it? I'm afraid I wouldn't know that.
Elasticity. That is, it does not, it can't be stretched and come back to its shape quite as well. Thank you very much.
And 50%.
50% on. Well, there we are, the first two groups of questions completed. Now, while our judges are figuring out where we stand, let's have a little more music. And Chico plays Blue Room. Thank you. you very much, Chico. Now, Mrs. Stoppel, are you all ready for your third question?
Yes.
And your third... Well, it isn't exactly a question. It says, name four hardwoods commonly used in the manufacture of furniture.
Oak, mahogany, cherry, and maple.
That's fine. There are four. There are lots of others, too, aren't there? If you went into a furniture store to buy a table and saw two of them marked the same price and one of them had a tag reading genuine South American mahogany and the other genuine Philippine mahogany, which would you select?
I'd select the South American, but don't ask me why.
She's absolutely correct. Give her 100% on that. Well, Philippine mahogany is really not a hardwood at all. It's very, very soft. Now, Mrs. Hunt, here is your third question. Do the following terms refer to the weave or to the material, or both? Damask.
The weave.
Correct. Mohair.
Material.
Material, correct. Tapestry.
Weave.
Weave, correct. Frise.
Material, I think, isn't it?
No, that one is wrong.
Weave.
Linen.
Material.
Material. Crash.
Material.
Right. Cretonne.
Weave. Or material.
Material is right. Velour.
Material.
No. Velour could be made of rayon or silk, you see, so it means weave. Velvet.
Material.
Well, that's... Did you happen to catch how many she missed there on those opportunities?
Plenty. Plenty.
I think we about credit her with about 75% on that. All right, Miss Reel, will you step up for your next question, please? Speaking of carpets, this is in the furniture section of our question now. Does the name Wilton refer to material or weave or pattern or what?
Weave or pattern? Weave, I think.
Weave is absolutely correct. What about the term broad loom?
Broad, it means woven on a broad loom.
Big,
on a big
wide
pattern.
Loom, that's right. And it can be... you can cut it to any width and any lengths. Broad loom may be patterned, it may be plain, but you won't find it pieced. That's absolutely correct. Miss Lyons.
How many on that now?
100%. Suppose you're going into a store to buy a table lamp now. Can you name four features in the design of that lamp that should be taken into consideration?
First, the beauty of it.
That's right, to harmonize with the interior decoration.
Yes, the power of the light.
The wattage of the lamp, fine.
To make sure that it had guaranteed electrical. You see, to buy...
You mean it would be safe, something like that?
Yes, because there's so many of them on
well,
the market.
Well, they can't sell
not...
they can't sell
yes,
them. No, you must... couldn't sell them if they weren't fast. They wouldn't be on the market if they weren't fast by them.
The height of it.
The height from the table, correct.
The shape of the shade, perhaps.
The shape of the shade. Absolutely correct. 100%. The ideal lamp recommended by the Illuminating Engineers Society, the bottom of the shade is 19.5 inches above the table. It has sufficient flare to cover the table top. The inside of the shade is white. It has a 150-watt bulb in a diffusing bowl, which prevents glare and sends some of the light above so that there are no harsh contrasts of light and shadows in the room. Now, Mrs. Collier, here is your third question. What is the purpose of the inner springs in an inner spring mattress?
Inner springs in an inner spring mattress.
Speak right up, won't you, please?
Perhaps to make it more flexible.
More flexible. It conforms to the shape of the body. That's the most important thing, of course.
And, of course, to give more comfort.
That's right. Well,
and durability as well.
Well, I wouldn't say durability, because the springs might give out as well as the padding, but one of the chief things, the advantages of the inner spring mattress is the padding doesn't pad mat down like the old felt mattresses used to. You know, you don't have to shake them out. Mm-hmm. Why do manufacturers recommend that you purchase a box spring to go with an inner spring mattress? We had that on the program just the other day. Did you happen to catch our show the other day? We talked about mattresses. I'll give her about 25% on that question, Mr. Opportunity Man. The reason for that is that with an old-fashioned coil spring, there's no support to some of the coils of the inner spring mattress, and they will very soon work through and ruin the padding on your mattress. Mm-hmm. Now, Mrs. Stoppel, here's your fourth and last question. Which is faster to cook on, gas or electricity?
Gas.
Well, now that has been very much disputed, but in a test over in Pasadena made just 2 years ago, the electric range brought water to a boil quicker than gas. That is on certain types of burners, of course. Zero. Mrs. Hunt, here's your next question. What kind of cooking utensils are most efficient for cooking with electricity?
I should say that the larger bottom pan.
Flat bottom pan? Mm-hmm. What about gas now?
Well, I believe they're telling us now that it doesn't matter that the gas that you can cook just as quickly on a pan with a narrow bottom on the gas flame.
Well, give her about 50% on that particular question. The flat bottom and the straight sides for electricity. You see, there's practically no radiated heat, and the heat is all confined on the bottom of the vessel. And so you have the straight sides, which does not give as much evaporation, much radiation, I mean, of the heat. And the gas, you do have the flared sides because there is some heat that comes up around the side, and the flared side of the utensil takes it up. The most efficient of all the utensils for cooking on electricity was discovered in one of the economics departments of a university. It was an aluminum vessel which was painted black on the bottom, so it got the radiated heat as well as the conducted heat. Now, Miss Reel, here's your next question. What are the ideal temperatures for storing the following foods? Have you any idea? Meat?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Milk? I
haven't any idea.
Fresh fruit?
Not a thing. I don't know anything about temperature.
Is that so? Well, the inside of a refrigerator is supposed to keep food anywhere from freezing up to 50 degrees. And meat should be stored very close to the freezing point at 30 degrees, directly under the freezing unit. Milk should be kept about 40 degrees, and that's why you store it up along beside your freezing unit. And the fresh vegetables are way at the bottom where the temperature is about 50. Thank you very much. Now, Miss Lyons, here you. What is the difference between porcelain and enamel?
Enamel is a painted thing that chips very easily. It's a painted surface on the basic material, where porcelain is fused, more or less, to it.
That's absolutely correct. Porcelain is spread onto the material, and it is baked at a very high temperature, so that it actually does fuse to the metal, becomes part of the metal itself. And enamel may be painted on, it may be put in an oven and baked, but they don't take it to a high temperature where it actually fuses with the metal.
It chips readily.
That's right. Now, wait just a minute here. I have another half of this question. Which would you prefer on the interior of an electric refrigerator? Porcelain or enamel?
Porcelain.
And why?
Well, if you were to batter a pan against it, your enamel would probably chip.
That's the most important.
And it should be a better insulator because it's more solid, isn't it?
Well, no. There is very little difference as far as that's concerned. Credit her 100%, Mr. Alfie, on that one. The enamel surface may not be as tight to the metal, and the sweating, as we call it, on the interior of a refrigerator may start rusting on the metal itself and thus flake off some of the enamel. So the porcelain, being part of the metal itself, there is no chance of the sweating coming between the metal and the finish itself. Now, Mrs. Collier, here's a very peculiar question. Perhaps this is a trick question. Is a vacuum cleaner a vacuum cleaner?
Yes, I would say it's a vacuum cleaner.
Well, what is a vacuum?
Well, it's a suction.
That reminds me of the teacher in school once. I asked a little boy if anyone knew what the vacuum was, and one little chap raised his hand in the back room and said, "Sure, Mom, it's the empty place where the Pope lives." No, a vacuum is an absolute lack of air, no air at all. Now, you can hardly accomplish that. The inside of an electric bulb is a vacuum, but do you think one of these cleaners around the house actually eliminates all air? You used one word there would be much better. Suction.
Oh, suction.
A vacuum cleaner is really a suction cleaner. Give her about 50% on that one, will you? And that finishes the questions on our consumer quiz. Now, while Opportunity Man and Jeff are adding up the score, or rather subtracting it, I believe Bob Mitchell has a little number for us over here on the organ. Now, here is the second radio special at Sears Roebuck & Company that I mentioned a few minutes ago. It's a couch hammock, the one really essential piece of outdoor furniture. It is adaptable to any location, on the deck porch, on a lawn, alongside a barbecue. It's as comfortable as a sofa in your living room because it's made the same way. The deep adjustable canopy protects you from the sun and draft. Yes, sir, it's a couch hammock that will give many years of service because it's built to last. Helical springs support the foundation in the back, covered by a firm pad of resilient material. The cushion is not just a thin cotton pad, like so many cheap hammocks. No, sir, it's a complete inner spring unit, as comfortable as a bed and built for hard wear. Coverings have been especially chosen for their attractive color combinations. You can have your choice of popular solid colors or smart awning stripes. The hammock is suspended from a strong angle iron frame, braced to give extra strength where needed. Altogether, it's a hammock to be proud of, yet the price to our radio listeners is only $16.95. And I hope that many of you will drop in to see this couch hammock during the week at your neighborhood Sears store. Of course, Sears has lots of other hammocks, too, ranging in price from $12 to $39.95. So there's sure to be one model to fit your need in your purse. But please mention the fact that you are a radio listener. It'll be a great favor to those of us on the mid-morning matinee, if you will. Now, Mr. Opportunity Man and Jeff, what about the scores here?
Mrs. Hunt was number one, and she has $4.25 worth of credit.
Uh-oh.
Ms. Real was number two with $3.50 worth of credit.
There we are.
Mrs. Stoppel was number three, $3.25 worth of credit at your neighborhood Sears store. Miss Lyons was fourth with $3 worth of credit, and Mrs. Collier was the runner-up with $2.25 worth of credit at any Sears store in the city.
Well, they all got a nice prize just the same. Thank you all. Congratulations, and we hope that you enjoyed your half hour with us. And if our listeners will drop us a line telling what you think of the consumer quiz idea, we'll be deeply grateful to you also. Remember, this is an opportunity to express yourself on the type of programs you'd like to have coming into your home. If enough of you do like this idea, it's entirely possible that we can continue these consumer quizzes. Now our time is up, and until tomorrow when we'll be back with our regular mid-morning matinee program, this is Hal Hodge saying goodbye for Sears Roebuck and Company.
And so concludes this special broadcast on the mid-morning matinee, brought to you by the Los Angeles County retail stores of Sears Roebuck and Company. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 10. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.